Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be together. Tell your neighbor you're at the right place. Today's message is for you specially. We are also sending a team in the next week on mission to our church in Zambia. And so we just wanted to pray for them and send them out from the congregation. As you understand, we are a sending church. We are a disciple-making church. We are a church that plants churches and establishes campus ministries. And so these things are to be done not just by pastors and by leaders who are working for the church, but this is the work that is done by the saints. Amen. And so if I can have Neil and the team, won't you guys come and just stand with us. Wonderful. I think there's about two or three of them that might be in the second service, or they might be traveling. And so we want to just commend those who are going, Dr. Msusa and your family. I think it's the little ones as well. Oh, come, guys. And so we celebrate the fact that families can go on mission. Anyone can go on mission because that's the work that God has called us as believers to do, that we ought to go into all the world making disciples. And so for those of us who are not going, we are sending them. Amen. They are going to represent us. They are going to speak on our behalf. And so we just want to send them out this morning with a blessing. So let's just stretch our hands to them as they go. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you this morning that you are the one that goes before them, Lord. We thank you, God, that you make every mountain level, every valley level, Lord God. We thank you that you will provide for every need, and we thank you for amazing testimonies of salvations, of healings, of deliverances, Lord God, that you are setting people free. And we pray, Lord, that the church in Zambia will be strengthened, will be empowered, Lord God, that the church will grow because of this visit, Lord God. We thank you for your divine protection, that the angel of the Lord may surround them on every side, Lord God. And we declare that we are with them in spirit, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come in Zambia. Let your will be done, Lord God, as your people are going out into that nation. And we send them with our love and blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you see them, give them money. Give them money. They will need it for the road. Amen. Is it US dollars, guys? Yeah. Awesome. Tomorrow, once again, is our day of prayer and fasting for everyone and forever. We want to remind you of that. We start in the morning online at 6 o'clock till 6:30, and then we also have the evening prayer at 5:30, where we come together to pray. Just a few announcements with regards to logistics, particularly in regards to the parking, especially the first service and also the second service we'll share with them. We would like to give you a hint concerning your exit from the parking. If you exit towards the top, so the gate is over here where you exit with your vehicle. If you are walking, don't worry. Okay. So you exit with your vehicle at the top here. We want to recommend that you turn right. Yeah, that's what I said. We want to recommend that you turn left. We want to recommend that you turn left instead of turning right, because we are facing a congestion here at the bottom, at the crossing of Sculptor and Hendrik Witbooi. Also, we've got new robots or traffic lights at the IUM, so it's also causing a little bit of a backlog. And so we would like to recommend that if you'd like to go to Kommersdal, you can go around this way. You know, there's a road that will find you here. And if you'd like to go to Auckland Park or that, find that road, you can go around this way. You'll find the traffic circle on the first turn that you make at the top. Is that fine? All right. We'll see if we have the parking guards just giving you guidance in regards to that. But we just would like to facilitate the flow of that. We've got a very narrow window between the two services, and so we'd just like to accommodate that. Is that fine? All right. And then we have people that arrive with a taxi. And usually, because you're wearing stilettos or whatever it is, you don't want to be dropped off at a certain place. It must be at the front of the doors of the church. And so we'd like to ask that you please inform your taxi driver to just not park in the road. If there's space on the side of the road, please ask them to get on the curb or just a little bit up the road, because we are congesting quite a bit at the gates. Is that fine? Yes, we will appreciate your Christian charity in this regard. Even if you don't like what we are proposing, please do it for the sake of your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Awesome. And then you've seen on the slide that we have requested for donations. It's winter, and also anytime is a good time to be giving to the less fortunate. And so we have already begun to receive donations, but we just want to address the state of these donations. And I come with exhibits, particularly. So very nice coat that we've received here, probably for a six-year-old girl or something, but it is completely dirty. Okay? I won't mention who gave this. They gave it with a good intention, I'm sure. But we want to recommend that whatever clothes you give away, wash them first. Let that be your first step, all right, in being generous. And then we also have some donations that are a little bit interesting. I see here these are slippers of some kind. But as you can see, they are for standing. Standing, it's not for walking, it's for standing. So you carry them along, and where you stand, you put them down, and you just park. And so, I don't understand, I mean, is it a toy? It's a car. Okay, so, yeah. I mean, sometimes the idea is that, look, it's all I have, I'm gonna give what I have. What do you have in your hand type of thing? But some things are more of an insult than a blessing. Amen. So if it's of this nature, at the church office, we will sort of sift through things, but we just like to rebuke this kind of donations. Okay? Maybe you were using them in a special way, then send a manual. Send a manual along with it of how the thing actually works. And then we've got a pair of pants here for a little one. And I know that for adults, you usually have the shop selling those jeans with a torn knees, but I don't think that is what's going on here. Okay? So this is torn. I'm sure that, yeah, you can do better than that. Amen? So we'd just like to rebuke this very sharply. And if you bring it to the church, bring it clean, bring it in a good condition. What we have been doing is, together with our donations, we will put in the package a packet of soap as well. But we would like to do better with regards to that. We appreciate your generosity, but we'd just like to refine that generosity. Amen. When you go to the restaurant, they serve you with a clean cup and a clean plate. Amen. And so this is part of our godliness. Amen. Maybe you were rushing, you just quickly grabbed, and beggars can't be choosers, but we are trying to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you better not give those kind of things. You are my neighbor. My neighbor ain't like that. Awesome. All right, and then this morning we've got another young man who has decided that enough is enough. And so Lewis and Aune, won't you guys come? Yes, yes, yes. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, brother. Amen. Can we also ask, is your family here? You can stand. You can stand. We just want to congratulate you. We celebrate you. Amen. Awesome. Elder Godfrey, won't you come and just pray with us for them? While we are praying, just look at your boyfriend.
Congratulations. I didn't receive the invite.
No,
the elder was invited. Yeah, no, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We celebrate this morning these young people as they choose to walk this path. Father, we pray you have ordained this from the very beginning. So we pray your grace begins to flow even from this moment as they stand here in front of these witnesses. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you go before them, that as they start this journey, they can only walk in your grace, step by step, in the name of Jesus. So we speak a blessing upon them as they finalize the arrangements coming the 4th of May. We pray, Lord God, that your name will be glorified through this union in the name of Jesus. We pray for provision. We pray for great relationships as well, Lord God, that they will not lack. From the left to the right, front and back, they will be blessed abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we give you honor and glory. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. So if you see them, give them money. Give them money. If you see them, give them money. We are excited to celebrate. If you wanted to marry them, just come for prayer afterwards, you know. We've got someone else for you. Don't worry, huh? Tell your neighbor there's someone for you. If you are married, just look straight. Awesome. You know, we had a statistic in the newspaper just this week, a very alarming statistic, that out of, I think it's 2021, out of 85,000 children that were born, 75,000 about, give or take, were born out of wedlock from parents that are not married. What is that? 85%? 80%? 90%? We've got a lot of work to do. Yes. And this is in a Christian nation. Amen? Isn't it? We are a Christian nation. Hallelujah. Yeah. At least our funerals are Christian. And so it's very important that we realize what's happening in our homes. It's one thing for us to be in the church, in the house of the Lord, but remember, it's what happens at home that determines the temperature of the nation. Yes. And so each one of us need to be advocating for marriages. Many come out saying, oh, it's just a piece of paper. Technically, we are actually married. We've been living together for the last 25 years. It is unchristian to live together before you get married. Amen? Yes. It is unchristian to sleep together before you get married. Even if you don't do anything, don't sleep with your significant other. Amen? It is unchristian to kiss them in a way that provokes them to sin. Anyway, let's go to our message for today. But Lewis and Aune, we are celebrating with you. Those of you who have not been invited, please, you are welcome to join the church service. I don't know if there will be refreshments there, but it will be wonderful. Amen. Awesome. All right, today we're starting with a new series called Set Apart Heart. Set Apart Heart. And it's going to run for several weeks. And let me just pray for us as we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We have come. We could have been somewhere else riding bikes. We could have been somewhere else sleeping, reading, spending time with our families. But we have come to worship you. We have come to give time, set aside time for your word to minister to us. And we thank you, Lord, that this morning our hearts are open. We pray, Lord, that you speak to us. May the seed of the word of God be planted deeply within our hearts, Lord. May it bear fruit for your glory in our families and in our communities, Lord. We pray, God, that our attitude will be humble, that we will be teachable, so that the word of God will not be hindered in our hearts. We thank you that your word will not return void. We thank you, Lord, that your word will transform, heal, and encourage this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to run the series over about 8 weeks. Today we're going to deal with certain definitions. We're going to talk about how your heart is the quotient that leads to your faith, and your faith determines your life. Next week, we'll continue on that theme, talking about the fruitfulness of your heart and four types of hearts. And then the following week, we'll talk about the hardened heart and the evil heart. Tell your neighbor, you might have a hardened heart. Yes, you might have an evil heart. Yeah, just because you come to church doesn't mean that your heart is right. Amen? You might even come to church because your heart is wrong. Then the fourth week, we'll talk about the sick heart, okay, hopelessness and despair. Then the fifth week, we'll talk about the broken heart and how God intends to heal broken hearts and how he does that. The sixth week, we'll talk about the merry heart, the joyful heart, you know, merry like Merry Christmas, not Mary and Joseph. And then the seventh week, we'll talk about the undivided heart. The undivided heart. Some of you, you didn't know there are these different kinds of hearts. Amen? Tell your neighbor, that's why you come to church. Otherwise, you won't know nothing. Yes. And then the eighth week, we'll talk about a new heart, the heart after God's own heart. Amen? Yes. So as we go through this, we are going to be dealing with certain core elements. We want to encourage you to be very introspective, to really consider your life. Yes, sometimes you might be here and you might feel, my goodness, that cousin of mine, they needed to be here today. This message is just for them. No, tell your neighbor, this message is for you. Yes, this message is for you. It's also going to be online, and so whoever else will have access to this as well. Amen. All right, so today we're talking about how your heart equals to your faith and your faith equals to your life. Now, we're just going to deal with some definitions quickly. When we say heart, what are we meaning? Because if you look, can you put for us the first slide there with that river? When you look at that image we've put there, thanks to Teacher Caroline, we've put there a picture of the organ. Those of you who've never seen your own heart, that's what it looks like, generally, whether you're white or black, by the way. And then there is a river that is flowing from it. There's a reason why we designed it like that. And so the first mention is a good place to start when you're going to find the meaning or the theme or the intention of God's communication in the Word of God concerning a certain subject. You want to go and see what is the first part in the Scripture where this concept of the heart comes to the fore. And we find this in Genesis, if you'll give us that Scripture. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. This is the first mention of this word heart. And we'll go to the Greek meaning of it. It says, then the Lord saw. Now, this is in the time of Noah, just before the flood, and there's wickedness on the earth, and the Nephilim have come and corrupted the human race. and there's much happening in terms of wickedness on the earth. And it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is already giving us an indication of a thinking heart, a heart that is not just pumping blood, a heart out of which thoughts and desires are emanating. And then in verse 6, it says something very important. It says, the Lord was sorry, or he regretted, that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Very interesting. Pointing to the fact that it's not only mankind that is referenced to have a heart, but God claims to have a heart. And we understand that God does not have a physical body like this, except for the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation. But this precedes the incarnation. Before Jesus was incarnated in the form of a human being through the Virgin Mary, he was not in the form of a body like he is today. And so when it says that God was grieved in his heart, it's speaking about his essence at the center of his core. Okay, give us there the next one. We'll look here at the concordance. Before we go there, Matthew 22, verse 36, Jesus was teaching a principle from the Old Testament that says this, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? The Pharisees were asking Jesus. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is why we are dealing with this subject, because it is crucial to your life. If you say, I have a relationship with God, you have a relationship with God by means of your heart. You cannot have a relationship with God without your heart being involved. Are you with me? And even our relationships with people, our hearts are involved. And so he says, this is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Not only a part of your heart, all of your heart. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. No, I'm too young and all of that. And sometimes we have these references that, you know, we use that, no, I'm it's coming from my heart. I love you from my heart. Very romantic referrals and references. But the word of God says that you shall love who? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Okay, so give us the Strong's Concordance. This is just giving us the Hebrew and Greek meanings, especially in the Greek. The word is cardia, with a K. The word for heart is the word cardia, where you get cardiac arrest. Are you with me? Yes. So it makes reference to the instrument of your blood pumping. It makes reference to your biological muscle that pumps for your whole life. However, the meaning when the Word of God speaks about your heart, it does not ever refer to the physical organ. It is the effective or the affective affections, emotive center of our being. It is that place in us that has the capacity for moral preferences, for making the decision between right and wrong, for volitional desire, where your will is rising from. Your desires are coming from your heart. The intentions of your life come from your heart. The decisions you make concerning what is right and wrong are rising up from your heart, not this beating heart, but the emotive center, the core of your being. It is the place where you make your choices from. It is the place that produces your desires. Why am I having these kinds of desires? It's coming from the heart. Are you with me? Yes. If you have a wicked heart, you will have wicked desires. Let me not get ahead of myself. And so it is that place that produces who you are. It is that place that this is where the things that make you tick, the things that move you, are a factor of the heart that you have. Our desire decisions that establish who we really are. You know, someone can appear to be amazing. Someone can appear to be godly. Someone can appear to be pious. Someone can appear to be patient. But my goodness, if you see their heart, you'll be shocked at the murder that they are intending. You know what the amazing thing about Christianity is? It is the only faith that gives you an accurate description of mankind. Most other faiths give mankind some kind of basis that, no, generally we are good. It's just that we grew up in a poor community. No, we are generally good. It's just because we were abused when we were younger. No, generally we are good. It's just that we married the wrong spouse. Otherwise, I wouldn't be like this. Generally, we are good. It was that teacher in grade 5 that made me like this. No. Mankind is not good. God made him good, but he became corrupt in his heart. And when God was going to wipe the whole earth away in the flood, he looked on the earth and he said that the intentions of the heart of man were only evil continually. Only evil continually. And what's amazing is that God relates to that. And that's our first principle this morning, is that God looks at the heart. You are nicely dressed. Tell your neighbor, you look so nice. You know, you really know how to put on your Sunday best. I like those shoes. They go with your earrings. And so everyone comes looking good, smelling good. Everyone comes with a facade. Nice accent. But when you look at the heart, and this is the principle that God looks at your heart, whether you like God or not, whether you believe in him or not, whether you stand with God or not, he is relating with you on the basis of the heart that you have. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Saul, the first king of Israel, has just been rejected by God because of his disobedience. It was a partial obedience that was seen as disobedience. And so God rejected King Saul, and he sends the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse. And he says, go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons as king of Israel. And so Samuel gets there, and when he arrives, he speaks to the leader of the house, the head of the house, Jesse, and he asks him, please bring your sons out. I have to anoint one of them. Remarkable that God didn't specify the name. But we'll see here that there is a principle that rises. And so the eldest comes out, Eliab. He comes out, and the brother is well built. He is tall, dark, and handsome. He looks like he's king material. There was another one who was just like this, taller than everyone in Israel, King Saul. And this is what Samuel says, surely this is the Lord's anointed standing before me. Surely, surely. Can't look like this and not be something in life. Man can't have this kind of hair and not be something in life. Can't have this kind of complexion and not be something in life. Can't have this kind of articulation. Rah, 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 rah. and not be something in life. And he was ready to take out his oil and anoint Eliab. But the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, do not look on his appearance, on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. My goodness. We don't read of Eliab doing anything on a corporate level, on the national level. He's just a young guy growing up in his mother and father's house, ready for an opportunity, an equal opportunity to become king. And at the onset, it says that I have rejected him. What did Eliab do? Let's see. It says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For the Lord sees not as you see. The Lord does not look the way that human beings look. Man looks on the outward appearance. Man looks at the face. Man looks at the hair. Man looks at the nails. Man looks at the biceps. Man looks at the six-pack. Man looks at the degrees. Man looks at the outward appearance, the straightness of the teeth, the beauty of a smile. But that brother is a snake. Hey. But God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looks on the heart. And so he says, bring the next brother. They bring out the next brother, and the Lord says, not him. The next brother, not him. The next brother, not him. Until the father says, that's it. And Samuel asks, is there no one else? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, hey, my goodness. If that's you in the family. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one guy. Yeah, there's somebody there. But if you ask my opinion, he doesn't look too good. And so Samuel says, call him. And here comes David from taking care of sheep. He's been walking with God for years, where no one sees, where only God sees. And when David came in the room, God said, this is the one. That's my boy. Anoint him quickly. It says that David came in, he was ruddy. It's like reddish. You know, sort of like reddish hair. Spent a lot of time in the sun, you know. Dark in complexion like Elder Godfrey, yeah. Yeah. Because many times, despite the rejections we've gone through, despite the misunderstandings that we've gone through, despite the trials that we have faced, despite the troubles that we are facing, we can have a gleaming heart, a shining heart, that even though people cannot see it around me, there is a God in heaven who looks on the heart and who responds accordingly. So that's the first one, the God looks at the heart. Number two, your life flows from your heart. I'm giving you such nuggets of wisdom, huh? My goodness. I'm opening life to you. If you will take these things seriously, you will not blame the white man or blame the black man or blame the yellow man or blame the red man or blame your mother or blame your father or blame your toenails or blame your hairstyle or blame your school or blame the president. You will set your life on the course that no one else can influence. Yes. You know, it's remarkable that your heart is inside you. So no one can be there, like, just like whenever they pass, they can just like, pow! smack you on the heart. Your heart is concealed. There's a principle there. It's not supposed to be, you know, you hear this saying about how people, I wear my heart on my sleeve, you know. I put my heart just out there. Everyone can just see straightforward. That's a stupid thing. Yes. Anyone, any enemy can just take a knife and stab you right on the sleeve. Cha! And you will die. But there's a heart that is supposed to be on the inside of your ribcage, concealed, protected. When something reaches out, you can shield it. And so the Word of God says this, your life flows from your heart. This is awesome. My goodness. That the life that you are living, the issues of your life, the flow, the river of your life comes from your heart. So the enemy's intention is not just to affect any area of your life. He is after your heart. Because he knows that if he can affect your heart, he can affect your life. And so also God. God knows that I need this man's heart. I don't want his songs. I don't want his lip service. I don't want his pretentious prayers. I don't want his activities on the outside if I do not have his heart. Amen. And it's the same thing in marriage. You want your spouse to give you their heart, not just pretending. Are you with me? And so the Word of God says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart or guard your heart. The word is garrison, like an army protects a territory. Guard your heart. Remember, we're not talking about your muscle here, your organ. We're talking about the place of your essence. Protect your heart with all vigilance. Vigilance means to be alert. Are you with me? Protect your core with all vigilance. And over the next few weeks, we will teach you how you begin to condition your heart. If your heart is not in the right place, you don't have to despair, because there's a God in heaven that is a heart surgeon. Hallelujah. He is able to make a heart new. He is able to change any heart condition. And so he says, protect your heart. Why? For from it flow the springs of life. The issues, the flows of your life are coming from your heart. It's not because of colonialism and what. No. Guard your heart. Whatever does happen to us is trying to affect our hearts if we allow it. Amen. You know, for those of us who are not farmers, we might not be well acquainted with how you need to treat a certain piece of land if you are going to have crops or animals on there. One of the key things, and you know, we live in Namibia where stock theft is a massive crime. You'll go to prison. Yeah, we value our stock. Can rape people, but don't take my bull. And so one of the critical things that a farmer will do initially is to put a fence around his land. Yes, to put a boundary around his place. And so the Word of God clearly establishes to us, look, you need to put a fence, you need to put a boundary, you need to put a wall around your heart. And sometimes we have this idea from secular culture, no, you know, he's just building up walls. He's just building up walls. And there's a wrong way to do that. But there is a wise way to do that. Amen? I remember a time in this very building when we didn't have walls and we couldn't keep anything in here that is valuable. Amen? Why? Because you don't have walls. When you don't have walls, you are exposed. Nothing of value can be invested because it is being risked if it is planted in a place which is unprotected. And so many times, God and God's Spirit want to establish things in our lives, but our hearts are just an open city. And we're not saying build walls and you stay in there. No, there will be a door. Are you with me? A door with a key. Am I preaching good, somebody? Yeah. And so even though you have walls, there's a door. And at least you can't say, no, I'm not going to put up doors because I just want to be open in life. No, you can't have that. You have to close it and then open the door when it's time to open the door and close the door when it's time to close the door. Are you with me? And you need to do it with diligence and vigilance. And it's amazing what the Word of God gives us in terms of what to be careful of that we allow into our hearts. So the quality of your life flows from your heart. Okay? So this is an important, if you can understand this, you will spend time working on your heart. You will not spend time trying to change other people. Other people don't determine your life. Surprise! Other people don't control you. Other people might affect you, but you still decide what comes in. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Look at my Jesus, how he was rejected, how he was insulted, how he was undermined, how they spat on him, how they mocked him and said, prophesy, who slapped you? And yet at the end he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Hi, Pastor Chris, it's not possible. No, when people victimize you, you have to be careful because, you know, if you just allow that, you are going to become a doormat for people. And then that husband is going to take advantage of you. Then that wife will take advantage. You have to be careful, Pastor Chris. You have to be careful. You pastors, you don't know what real life is all about. You don't know. I have gone through things. You don't know. You don't know. Calm yourself down. Calm yourself down and get wisdom. Get understanding. Realize that you are more empowered than you think. Yes. And the Word of God says, guard your heart. We'll teach you how. The next principle is this. Your heart produces. If you have nothing in life of material importance or relational importance, if you have nothing, you have a heart. Awesome. Awesome. That you build your life from the heart. And if you lost everything, you rebuild your life from the heart. Don't look at the government. The government is also looking at themselves and saying, yeah, I also need. And so you begin to realize, look, if I've got a heart, I've got soil. I've got a place that I can produce from. This is what the Word of God says in Matthew 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers. This is Jesus speaking, once again, very loving, speaking to the Pharisees. You group of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? How? If you are evil at the core, even the good things you say are wicked. And then he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very amazing. Oh, very amazing. That your internal world can be known through your mouth. Tell your neighbor, your mouth is not for eating. Yes. Because some of us, that's the key instrument. Hey. Wherever I pass where there's food, it starts to water like a waterfall. I must put it to use, otherwise it will break. Some food in the mouth. Okay? Your mouth is not for eating. Your mouth is a spiritual instrument for bringing out of your heart that which is good. Oh, yes. And so your heart produces, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This means that you can't speak what is not in your heart. Guys, please pay attention to the principles I'm giving you. By the time I'm speaking next week, I am going to build on these foundations. Are you with me? So when it comes to faith, we have this spirit of faith that speaks. We have believed, therefore we have spoken. This is a law of faith that if you are not hearing it in the person's voice, they probably don't have it in their heart yet. And then there are many people who are parroting a lot of scriptures. By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. No, it's not enough to say things. It has to be planted in the heart. And when it's planted in the heart, the mouth will speak. Amen? Yes. If you want to know who someone is, just wait. You are talking too much. Keep quiet. Listen. 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 And you will hear. And then I went to church, you know, and I was just on a mission. I just love Jesus. You will hear. But some of us, we don't listen. We don't understand that people betray their heart through their mouth. They will say to you who they are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then it says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? Jesus is saying this. He is the creator of man. He knows what it works, how it works. And so he's saying, the good man, Chivi, won't you come? Chivi is a good man. The good man is looking for good treasure. Because you need good treasure for the good life. Are you with me? Yes. And so, the resource for the good life is not out there. The resource for the good life is in here. But it is undeveloped. It is like saying, why on earth am I not wealthy? I have land. No, the question is not that you have land. Yes, if you don't have land, you are at even more of a disadvantage. Everybody got a plot. Tell your neighbor, everybody has a plot. It's in your heart. Yes. Stop complaining to the government. You have land. You are a landowner. It's the kind of land that no one can take, but someone else can seed. And so the land in his heart is barren, is fallow, is open. And what he needs to do is cultivate it. Are you with me? He needs to cultivate it. Once he cultivates it, it begins to grow. And don't think of plants in the heart. Think of all manner of things pertaining to life. They grow in the heart. And so once the heart is full of it, he will begin to speak. And not just declaring things like, oh, I'm great. No. It will articulate his choices, his decisions. It will influence what he says, how he says things. It will provoke favor. The word of God says a word spoken in season and in time is comely. It is like apples set in a setting of silver. There's something beautiful about the right words. Why? In the beginning, the earth was formless and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the 70% of waters. And then God said, let there be light. So mankind was made like that. So man will have in his heart, the soil of his heart will produce, and then out of the abundance, he will begin to say things that will begin to be produced in his life. We are awesome as human beings are awesome. I don't understand these people who say we evolved from some worms in the sand. You don't know what you are. Are you with me? So the good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. But now if this man was wicked, and you know what? It is true that you can be made wicked. The devil is involved in the enterprise of violating the lives of children. This is why he wants these children to be born out of marriages where there's no covenant to cover. Because he knows that there is a breach in the wall. And I can come in and I can sodomize a child. And he will be a champion for something despicable when he's 21. Are you with me? And so the evil man, out of the evil in his heart, brings forth evil things. What a wonderful opportunity. Because many times, thank you, Chivi, many times we feel like I have nothing. You don't have nothing. Stop singing that song. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. No, you don't have nothing. You have God. You have God. And if you don't have God, you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have God, you have the Creator. Oh, yes. And then what he does is he gives you the kind of seed that you need to build your life. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes I love preaching because the way I'm preaching to myself here, I'm just like, cho, cho, cho. Yeah, yeah. What a great grace. It's better than being a waiter, you know, or a chef. Because as a chef, I don't know if the professional chefs can, you know. Hey, I don't think you can do that. They'll see you on the camera. The AI will spot you. Ding dong. But for us who are preachers, we are the first ones to eat. Tell a neighbor, become a preacher. Don't have to resign your job, don't worry. Okay, and then number four, the heart is used to believe. Oh, yes. You know, sometimes we read scriptures and there is a principle that is hidden in the scripture that you miss because you're going for the big idea. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this is what we do on a Sunday, right? We call you forward and we say, you want to receive Christ, come and receive Jesus. And you come and we pray with you and you declare, you confess with your mouth. To confess is the word homologia. It means to say the same thing in agreement. Do you understand? Yes. It is to agree with God from persuasion. Hence confession. Admit. If you admit with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. Then he explains. He says, for with the heart one believes. Awesome. You know, many times we have this idea that, no, I believe with my mind. You believe with the heart. It comes from the core. It is a persuasion at your very essence. With the heart, man believes and is justified because God looks at the... With the heart, man believes and is justified, meaning declared innocent because God looks at the... Yes. What is this heart believing? It's believing that Christ raised... God raised Christ from the dead. That means that the sacrifice for my justification is complete and I appropriate by means of my heart. Oh, yes. This means I receive by means of my heart. So that means if I say, Crispin, if I say to you, Crispin, I want to give you this key. It's the key to my car. It's just an example. And people are like, hallelujah. No, calm down. I haven't discussed this with my wife, so I'll blame it on her. So I want to give you this key. Crispin, will you receive this key? Okay. Receive this key, Crispin. You can receive it. Receive this key. Yes, Crispin. He asked, can I take it? Receive this key, Crispin. Yeah, receive this key. Yes, receive it. Receive this key. Look at the hesitation. He will be there. When you were there, what was your intention?
To come and get the key.
To come get the key.
But you waited a bit. Why?
A car is big.
A car is big. Very big. Very good.
It's not just a decision. You can just, you know.
You know, many of us that are trusting God for big things, we categorize big things and then we automatically delay our hearts because we see it as big in God's eyes. There is nothing big. Hi. There is nothing big in God's eyes. Nothing. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Shall he give you his son and then withhold some small thing? How will he not with his son also freely give us all things? Are you with me? But the issue is our heart. And what is the conditioning of our heart? The conditioning of our heart is that, brother, this ain't for you. God is against you, even you. That's why he's keeping that fruit from you. Because God knows. And so we have all these beliefs that are keeping us. We are praying. And the devil doesn't care. Pray all you want. But if your heart is in the wrong place, you will never receive what you are praying for. Even if it is delivered on a silver platter. Yes. Because it doesn't work like this. Take this key. Otherwise, everyone would be saved. Yes. It is offered to everyone who received him. He gave them the right to become children of God. Amen. Thank you, Chris. All right. So this is the last question. What is the condition of your heart? Can we stand? Thank you, Lord. This morning, what is the condition of your heart? When you came here this morning, many of us have considered very much the condition of our outfit. We have made sure that they are matching, you know. I think I'm going to wear a tie that matches my wife's dress, you know. Then it will be like those African couples, you know, what do you call them, you know? Those Ghana couples, you know. Hey, but the connection of the heart, we could be in an argument. It doesn't matter as long as we look like we are in unity. Hallelujah. No, don't clap. Not this. It's a sarcastic hallelujah. So, where you are, pray right now and say, search my heart, Lord. Psalm 139. Search my heart, Lord, and know me. Yes. Thank you, Lord. No matter the condition of your heart, it can change. This gracious, wonderful, loving Father has made a way. No matter if your heart is as dark as hell itself, the Lord can change your heart. The Lord can change the heart of your spouse. The Lord can change the heart of your children. The Lord can change the heart of your boss. The Lord can change hearts. The same way he guides the stream, he holds the heart of the king in his hand. And pray right now where you are and say, Lord, I want a heart that is after you. I want the right heart. I want my heart to produce good things. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. You don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You might come to church and church activities. You are a good guy in that sense, or a good lady, but you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have not received a new heart The prophecy of Ezekiel says that I will take out the heart of stone and I will give them a heart of flesh. I will cause them to walk in my ways. But the heart that you have, you know that you are pretending in front of people maybe, but in the heart, the essence is not producing the fruit which is supposed to be a godly life. Today, Jesus is calling you, if you are not born again, to give your heart to Him and to receive eternal life and forgiveness of sins today. That you will not harden your heart if you hear His invitation this morning. So I want to pray for you. If you are not born again, you need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior this morning. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, just raise your hand where you are so that I can pray for you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Yes, Lord. Those of you are raising your hands, please bring your bag and just come close here. Stand with me. I want to pray for you. Come and get a new heart from the Lord, a generous one. Is there anybody else? You need to come. Your heart is rotten. You need a new heart, a fresh heart, a heart that loves God. A heart that goes after the Lord. Can we pray for them? Those of you are here, you understand that you are a sinner? Yes, just like all of us. Amen. And today you are coming here, not because of a man, not because of a church. You are coming here because Jesus died for you on the cross, for your sins. Though your heart was hard and rebellious, today He is touching your heart and giving you a new life today. If you will just repent of your sins. Yes, repent of your sins. Realize that your sins are taking you to destruction and to hell. They are destroying your relationship with God and with others. They are robbing you of your joy. So turn your back on your sins this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. Pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I know that I'm a sinner and I believe you died for me on the cross for my sins. You suffered in my place. You were punished in my place so that I can be set free. And in 3 days, you were raised from the dead. I believe it in my heart that you were raised from the dead. And you are alive today. So Lord Jesus, I receive you today into my heart. Hallelujah. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Be my Healer. Be my Father. Be the center of my heart. Be the center of my heart. Take the throne of my heart. Rule my heart. Today, I give you my old heart. And I receive a new heart. A new spirit. I receive eternal life. I receive forgiveness for all my sins. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So the word of God says, if any man is in Christ, if any woman is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Okay? We want to spend some time with you, praying with you, and giving you some instruction. The Lord is really ministering to you, my dear. Yeah? It's a new day for you, okay? Yeah. and that God will not disappoint you. You put your whole heart in His hands. He will lead you. We want to spend some time with you, give you some instruction, give you some guidance and material, and pray with you. And so please spend some time here with Crispin. Okay, he's just standing here. You see that handsome young man there, you know, loves God. Okay, just follow him. You guys will spend some time on the balcony. He will speak to you guys with some leaders, and then you can come for prayer or fellowship with us. Amen. Welcome to God's family. Please follow him there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just get your bag, especially if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android, we don't want that one. We are not interested. The friends are congratulating. Those are the intercessors. There's somebody here. This is like a massive fight that you had. And you feel like you are right, and the other person, you are waiting for an apology. It's been 2 or 3 days that WhatsApp is not coming through. At least I'm sorry. I'm willing to forgive the person, but at least they must just apologize. I'm ready. And I'm here to tell you that person might not apologize, so just forgive where you are right now. Amen. Tell your neighbor, forgive for your own sake. You can be happy. Tell them you can be happy. Like me. I forgive all the time. That's why I'm so happy in life. Amen. Okay, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Remember, receive in your heart, okay? This is a planting. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your people have been imparted with new grace. For this week, Lord God, grace for miracles, seeds for breakthrough that is in the heart. I pray for visions to spring forth, Lord God, that you will affirm and confirm their destiny and your word for them in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, turn his face towards you, and give you peace that causes you to prosper. May the Lord highlight for you the areas of your heart where you need to repent, where you need to humble yourself, so that you may remove the hardness and begin to see a harvest of fruitfulness for the glory of God. May your family be blessed. May your family be distinguished because of the blessing of the Lord. May you be promoted. May you be highly favored in your workplace. Wherever you go, may your mouth speak forth the good things that are in your heart. And in the name of Jesus, may you love the Lord your God with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envintook.org.